Case for argument this morning is Jenkins against Lifetime Hone Corporation. Mr. Wall.
Good morning, Your Honor. John Wall for the appellant, Paul Jenkins. Your Honor, the question here today is whether or not there was evidence in this record from which a jury could determine that Mr. Jenkins was the victim of sex and age discrimination. Mr. Jenkins, mind you, had performed this job impeccably since 1996, took Lifetime Corporation from $3 million in annual sales to $40 million at the time, approximating his demotion in January of 2003. So obviously he possessed the necessary skills to perform the function.
Also, he came from another job, right? Did Lifetime recruit him?
Yes, Your Honor. He had been selling cutlery to Walmart from Robinson Knife Company, and he was approached on a number of occasions prior to his ultimate move to Lifetime. And that was in the 90s, like 1993 to 1996.
And he was paid $300,000 a year at Lifetime.
Initially, Your Honor, his salary was $150,000 base, and there was a percentage based upon sales that capped at $300,000 annually, and he earned that every single year.
Now, he had a contact at Walmart, I presume. Is that right? Mr. May, I believe his name was?
He would communicate with Bill May, yes, Your Honor.
Was that his key person there, or did he have a number of contacts?
There would be a number of underlying contacts. Mr. May was the vice president, division market manager, I think is the actual title. And Mr. May supervised a number of other people who were buyers below him. But the ultimate responsibility for the houseware section, which Mr. Jenkins interacted with, was held by Mr. May, who, as we know now, was having sex with Barbara Conklin, who was hired to replace Paul Jenkins, and who was paid $100,000 to sign. And Barbara Conklin claimed that the reason she was paid $100,000 to sign up was because her former employer, World Kitchen, had petitioned for bankruptcy relief, and there was some provision in the plan of reorganization that would give her some sort of executive bonus. There was no such provision, and in fact, the plan of reorganization didn't even come into effect until after she was already employed. So that explanation as to why she got the sign-up money is false.
Was it true that she was generating $100 million in sales with the former company?
That was the claim. That was the claim, but as we all know, World Kitchen went into bankruptcy. So if she was generating $100 million in sales, she was probably selling it to people that couldn't pay the bill. But it really is immaterial. Mr. Jenkins...
It's not immaterial. That's why she got a bonus to come over, if she really was doing that. I mean, that's... I guess that's... I don't. Whatever the facts are, I don't know.
Well, Ms. Conklin had claimed that the reason she received this bonus was because of the plan, not because of such, you know, her prior performance at World Kitchen. And so it's specious at best, the position that she advanced as to why she got this sign bonus. And in fact, the sign bonus wasn't even paid until after Mr. Jenkins had been demoted in January of 2003. But aside from all of that, Mr. Jenkins, at the time he was demoted, had record sales.
And certainly they have to agree with that, but isn't one of the problems that he refused to use email, he didn't comply with their procedures relating to appointments, and he actually didn't make any appointments during the first 5 months of the new assignment?
When he was relegated to selling closeouts, there was a number of obstacles, and I would submit that this was just more effort on Lifetime's part to rid themselves of Mr. Jenkins because they didn't want him around. He was making them very uncomfortable, if you will, by his continued presence. And so one thing they wanted Mr. Jenkins to do was to email these people who were purportedly going to buy closeouts, which are things that nobody else could sell. And then they wanted him to travel to do it, and they didn't want to pay him to travel. And then finally they made arrangements for him to get set up with the travel agency, and then they wanted him to make these appointments, and he knew no one that was in a position to do that. And it asked Mr. Goldberg for assistance and introduction to these individuals and received none. And then they're wanting a list of appointments on a weekly basis of contacts when he's trying to peddle something that Mr. Goldberg couldn't sell himself. Now, how much more difficult could you make it for a 66-year-old man who had taken you to $40 million in sales?
So there were no leads that he was able to develop. That's what you're saying. There was no one he could put on an appointment list, even though he, and I understand he's in a different kind of situation, but he had no resources or no way to get any kind of lead. That's what you're saying.
He, in fact, initially he didn't even have a computer. And when they ultimately sent him one, they sent him one that was so old that his son couldn't even get it to boot. And then they were contending that he was not effectively communicating with these people who were going to buy these closeouts. But the real adverse employment action here occurred in January of 2003 when they removed Mr. Jenkins from the Walmart account that they'd hired him to improve. And when I asked Evan Miller, the only person ever identified as the decision maker with regard to this demotion, why he did it, he could not recall.
What period of time was Conklin there and versus when he was, well, in January, removed from that job to the other job?
Your Honor, Conklin started in around August of 2002, and then Mr. Jenkins was demoted in January of 2003.
5 or 6 months or something.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Is that when she was demanding that he do email and computer work, and I sort of got the impression that Walmart was insisting on some of that procedure as well.
In the list of emails, it was confirmed there was not one single email coming from Walmart. It was Conklin that was insisting on this email communication. For what reason, nobody knows. Because Mr. Jenkins had already set the office up there in Bentonville, Arkansas, and had an 800 number and a telephone, and had his phone at home, had his fax machine at home, had a fax machine at the office. He was always in communication. In fact, the year that he was demoted, he had approached one of the people that they claimed that it was critical of him about putting some KitchenAid gadgets into the stores, and initially, she was going to allow him 300 stores, and then after some negotiation by Mr. Jenkins, he got 700 stores. So all the reasons, Your Honor, that were advanced by Lifetime for...
I guess I don't see the sex and age discrimination that you're referring to, because it sounds pretty stupid on the part of Lifetime to demote a guy if this is what the fact is, that he's generating $400 million in sales. It may have been for a dumb reason,
well,
which you allege because there's some affair between Conklin and May.
There was.
That'd be a dumb reason, but I don't know if that's...
Well, what better
age
way?
And sex discrimination.
What better way, Your Honor, frankly, to get more money out of your customer than to hire his lover?
I don't know. I hope there are better ways.
I'm
serious here. Sex discrimination, fire him because he's a male, or because he's 65 or 6. I don't know, that just happens to be what he is. It seems to me that if what you're saying, they fired him because she had inside track to the Walmart guy.
Which they deny, of course. Why? Because
well,
they
I know.
Well,
I would, too. It's pretty dumb.
But it seems pretty clear to me that I think a jury could obviously infer this.
Yeah, I think they could. That's why he got demoted, because she had a direct line to the Walmart guy.
Mm-hmm. which, of course, they deny, but guess what?
Yeah, but where is it? Why is that age or sex discrimination?
Well, she's 20 years his junior.
Well, that's...
She's female.
Okay.
The other person that took some of his responsibilities is Julie Fiedler, who's in her 30s. Takes two women, they're paying twice as much money to do the job that he had previously performed, and one's 20 years his junior and one's clearly outside the protected class. I think that's sex discrimination. I think that's age discrimination. I mean, the prima facie case is there, and then we get to the issue of pretext, and there's an abundance of pretext.
I'm lost. Why is it sex discrimination? It would be sex discrimination if they would not have hired a male lover of a female customer. But there's no evidence of that that I can see.
Well, they hired the lover of Bill May, who was female.
Being in bed with a customer is obviously a way to make sales, but what does that have to do with sex discrimination? Right? For it to be sex discrimination, you would have to say they will hire only female executives who are in bed with male customers and not male executives who are sleeping with female customers. But I don't see any evidence of that.
Well, they happen to know that Bill May's preference was a female, Barbara Conklin. And that would be disparate treatment, in my opinion, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Wall. Obloy.
May it please the Court. My name is Angela Obloy, and I represent Lifetime Home. I would first like to address several of the points that counsel made during his argument. First of all, he suggested that email communication was sudden and the sudden requirement and that it was unnecessary. To the contrary, Mr. Jenkins himself testified that Walmart was a highly technological company and that they had actually gone to computer, that times had changed. He further admits that all Ms. Conklin asked him to do was learn just enough to send and receive email. I'd like to also address counsel's point that closeouts were items that no one else could sell and that Mr. Jenkins had no assistance in his new position selling closeouts. First of all, closeouts are not items that no one can sell. They're items that are being discontinued from a store, like Walmart, for example. So there's a whole other set of customers that would be sold to, like dollar stores and the like. There's no record evidence either, as suggested by counsel, that Mr. Goldberg, who was 55 years old, could not sell these closeouts himself. In fact, Mr. Jenkins was transferred in January of 2003. Right away in January, Mr. Goldberg sent him a list of customers. Then he sent him a list of closeout items. Mr. Goldberg was faxing these items in addition to email because Mr. Jenkins was not responding to email. Repeatedly during January and February of 2003, Mr. Goldberg contacted him with lists of closeout items, lists of customers, and in fact, Mr. Goldberg reached out to several of these customers on his own that he had met at trade shows, trying to set up appointments for Mr. Jenkins. Mr. Jenkins also suggests that he didn't have all of the items that he needed in order to go out and sell these closeouts. However, on February 4th, 2003, Mr. Goldberg told him, you don't need to be fully up and running to get out and make appointments. All we need you to do is get out, make appointments, and try to make some sales.
Well, this is a totally different job than one he had before. He says he got demoted from $300,000 to $60,000 a year. I assume that $60,000 had some bonus factor in it as well, and that the $300,000 is half of that is bonus. But if his base is 150 in the other job, his base is 60 in this one. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, so that's a demotion. That's significant.
It is a demotion.
And he could allege that, well, look, he's 65, and gosh, you know, I'm 65, and now I've got to start a whole new career. You know, that's pretty mean or something.
We would dispute that it's a whole new career because repeatedly throughout the record, Mr. Jenkins has taken the position is that if you can make sales, you can make sales. So we would suggest that if he was such a great salesman to the Walmart account that he would be able to jump on this new job and make closeout sales. The suggestion also that he was 66 years old changing the career, Your Honor, we should point out that Mr. Goldberg was 55 years old. Mr. Reeves, Dennis Reeves, who was the consultant from Walmart, who made the initial suggestion that there were problems with Mr. Jenkins not understanding the global sales, and he was 59 years old. Ms. Conklin was 45 years old, and initially Mr. Jenkins suggests in his complaint that she was 30. She was not 30. She was 45.
You say meaning that because they're all in a protected class, they wouldn't really discriminate against one of their own? Is that what you're trying to say?
That's correct, Your Honor. Well. In addition, counsel suggested that Mr. Jenkins was replaced by two women. He was replaced by Barbara Conklin. The second woman, Julie Fidler, was actually hired and brought on to the team. She took up Jeffrey Jenkins' position, who was the assistant to Mr. Paul Jenkins on the account.
Was Conklin brought in with the intent to replace Jenkins, or was that just happening? Is that just what ensued? Was she brought in for another reason?
Barbara Conklin was brought in to bring new blood to the Walmart team. Mr. Reeves, who came directly from Walmart, who was in Walmart senior staff, suggested that Mr. Jenkins' team was not building the business it could with Walmart. He specifically suggested Ms. Conklin because she was doing so well for Lifetime's competitor and that she understood some of the things that Mr. Jenkins' team was deficient in, retail link, the store of the community approach, that she was someone that could have revitalized the Walmart team. As it turned out, she came on board. She specifically identified deficiencies in Mr. Jenkins and his team and effectively replaced him after he was demoted.
Now, what's the former Walmart guy's name?
Dennis Reeves is the consultant.
Reeves. So he's the guy that was brought in, former executive vice president or something at Walmart, who came in with these, I guess we'll call them new ideas, or here's the way you have to market to Walmart.
That's correct. It was June of 2002.
And Jenkins didn't fit that definition? Is that what
That's correct. According to Mr. Reeves, Mr. Jenkins needed to get on board with how to effectively build a business and relationship with Walmart, that selling on a day-to-day basis was not the same as building a long-term business relationship. And when Ms. Conklin came on board, she substantiated that, as we've discussed, Mr. Jenkins refused to learn the computer, even enough to send and receive emails, which is what Walmart had requested.
And that wasn't that one of the primary concerns, that he couldn't use the computer to service the Walmart account?
It was a primary concern, not only that he couldn't use it, but that he refused to use it. Lifetime offered to pay for him to go to a class. They would have helped him learn the computer, and he repeatedly refused.
What about counsel's argument or his statement that he didn't even have a good computer, that the computer didn't work and the son couldn't reboot it? Because he was doing emails through the son, right?
For the first part of his career at Lifetime, Mr. Jenkins' son sent and received every email on behalf of his father, which we would submit cut into his own job responsibilities. I don't believe there's any record evidence that he was given a computer that was faulty or that did not work. And there is evidence in the record that the Jenkins had a computer in their home that they used as part of their home office. So we'd submit that there was no issue with not having a computer. I'd also like to address the fact that Mr. Jenkins failed to file a reply brief or address at all our paramour theory that we raised in our brief. And according to that theory, anyone who wasn't having a relationship with Mr. May would have been disadvantaged, that this is not an example of sex discrimination because there's not favoritism based on sex. It's favoritism based on whether or not you're having a relationship with Ms. Conklin. So anyone who wasn't having a relationship with Mr. May would have been equally disadvantaged.
So supposedly when they found out about it, they fired her, right?
Pardon me?
Supposedly when Lifetime found out about it, they fired her.
There is no evidence in the record that the affair was ongoing during Ms. Conklin's employment with Lifetime from August of 2002 to August of 2003. The record evidence is that the affair ended prior to her working for Lifetime. It's also record evidence that Lifetime did not even learn of this previous and past affair until after Mr. Jenkins was terminated. Evan Miller learned in June of 2003, and Ms. Conklin was separated shortly thereafter.
for that reason?
She was not separated for violating any company policy because she didn't have the affair during her employment with Lifetime. She was separated because it was a conflict of interest because she had previously had the affair and hadn't disclosed it. But she hadn't she wasn't terminated for violating any particular company policy.
Well, that didn't matter why she was terminated at this point, but I guess it's somewhere in the record also that Walmart fired May.
Walmart did fire May. They were reviewing his computer, and they found some inappropriate pictures and communications that didn't specifically deal with Ms. Conklin. Apparently they were pornographic and may have had something to do with his family members. In addition, they did find one email going back and forth between Mr. May and Ms. Conklin that suggested they had an affair, but that wasn't necessarily the reason that he was terminated. There's no evidence in the record to suggest a different result than the district court's conclusion that summary judgment was proper for Lifetime Home. So we would respectfully request that this court affirm summary judgment in favor of Lifetime Home. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement. Our next case for argument this morning is United